Welcome back to today's episode, the podcast where we discuss the latest installment of a different series every show. Last we left off, Masters of the Air, Part 1 and Part 2. The year was 1943. We were talking World War II. We were in Europe. Today, our conversation delves into conceivably the most dangerous person born that year, 1943. Mind you, she's not without competition. The murderer who inspired the character Buffalo Bill from The Silence of the Lambs, so not Hannibal, but the other guy, he was born in 1943. John Edward Robinson, referred to as the internet's first serial killer, born in 1943, as well as Nick Knack, the evil henchman in the 007 movie, The Man with the Golden Gun. He inspired Mini-Me from the Austin Powers series. All of them born 1943, but just by body count, Griselda Blanco, any true crime junkie can tell you, it was the most dangerous. You know who she is by having watched the episode, right?
Yes, she, and I'm glad to know that she was 35 because this show takes place in 1978. That was one of my questions. How old was she?
Does Sofia Vergara look 35? I know she has a ton of prosthetics.
She looks a lot older than she did in Modern Family. Thankfully, well, she doesn't have the expressive voice. I know that it was like 10 years ago.
I know, but again, the prosthetics took like 3 hours, so it's not what she actually looks
this
like.
This is a very different role for her, though. I had only ever seen her in comedy things, such as the strange viral Emma Watson video that came out like 10 years ago, Soul Plane, The Three Stooges, Modern Family, and Chef, all of which are comedies. Here, she's playing, like you're saying, a completely different character. In fact, the show starts off with a quote from Pablo Escobar that says, "The only man I was ever afraid of was a woman named Griselda Blanco."
That explains why every review that I read uses that quote.
I had never heard of Griselda Blanco, but I was waiting to see kind of the craziness that she did.
Neither had I. It's the Colombian drug lord during the Miami drug wars of the 70s and the 80s, well known for being a psychotic person responsible for the murders of rival traffickers, associates, innocent bystanders. If anybody messed with her, if anybody messed with her sons, she would go after them and she would kill their families, she would kill their kids, she would kill people looking at her the wrong way. But despite her heinous crimes and truly a redeemable character, she has become somewhat of a legendary figure, almost glorified in certain circles of pop culture. In a male-dominated field of organized crime, Blanco's rise to power and ruthlessness with which she operated has become sensationalized, romanticized, and I think it's part of the reason why Sofia Vergara chose to appeal to the Narcos creators and say, hey, I really want to take on this role.
So she was the one to decide to
do
it.
She did, yes.
It's strange because she is not like that. She has a reason for selling drugs in the first episode. She has a moral compass. She's doing it for her kids.
It takes a lighter tone to start the show.
A way lighter tone. She's the protagonist in this.
That's weird.
Take, for example, Ozark, Breaking Bad, Weeds, The Wire, anything like that. That's the reason why she is doing it, because we start off in 1978 in Colombia. She goes into her house. She's in a state of hysteria. She's bleeding. She's telling her kids, we have to get on the next flight to Miami because that's where her friend Carmen, played by Vanessa Ferlito. I always like it when she shows up in things. She's in things such as Bookie, Death Proof.
So you did recognize
24.
Her from Bookie.
Yes, absolutely. But she is telling her kids, Uber, Dixon, Ozzy, we have to get out of here. We have to go to Miami as soon as possible.
She had the weirdest name for her kids. Like, one of them was Michael Corleone, but he wasn't alive yet, I don't think yet, but like Uber, yes.
Yeah, okay. And she only says Uber once, so I was very confused when I heard that originally.
Mm-hmm.
But she's able to make it to Miami, and she's telling her kids, okay, we're going to stay here at Carmen's house. I know that this isn't great. Uber and Dixon, I should probably mention, are kind of fully grown. I would say maybe around 16,
17.
Yeah,
are they working 17. For her? Are they selling drugs? Are they doing bad
no,
stuff?
No, in fact, I think that they are completely left out of the blue. This is most like Breaking Bad in that sense, where really it's only one character. Carmen is even telling Griselda at the beginning of the episode, look, because she knows that for the past 10 years in Medellin to New York, she was selling cocaine.
And even before that, I think she was raised sort of in a drug community, or at least a very brutal part of the neighborhood where her mom was a prostitute, beat her. She met her husband very early on, I think before she was 18 years old.
Alberto?
Yes, yeah. Alberto. He taught her how to forge. He also had like a bunch of other nefarious activities, and they moved to New York. That's where they made all their money. And then there was a sting operation, but she escaped with Alberto, came back to Medellin, and you know, whenever...
None of that is shown. That seems like
a more
interesting episode than the first episode.
It's only
episode
got six
was.
Episodes and 5 hours and 30 minutes to tell the whole story. But when I think of Medellin, I always think of, because I've never seen Narcos, but I always think of Entourage and how Vincent Chase was cast in the role. He was supposed to be taking Pablo Escobar and making it this great thing. They released the trailer for it, but then
the movie... Yeah, they made that fake trailer.
The movie just kerplunked. Like, it was terrible in the show. So it was like his big thing where the director and him and stuff. And so Narcos is like the real life version of that. And then you take in Griselda Blanco, who never reached the same amount of fame as what's his face, Pablo Escobar, but she did meet him. She was a little bit older than him, and she was probably more psychotic when it comes to just mercilessly killing people and their children.
And it's crazy that that happened, because Griselda is telling Carmen 15 minutes into this TV series, look, I'm done with drugs. It's over. That past me is gone. Yeah. But she does keep a kilo of cocaine behind Carmen's back. And the reason why she has it, because it's later on revealed that she does, is because she thinks she's going to be able to buy a house very soon, because she does not want to keep on living under Carmen's roof with her kids.
It's painting a broad brush here, because I just don't think there was ever a time where she was like, I'm going to go on the straight and narrow, until maybe later on in her life. But we can't really touch upon spoilers here. I do want to say that it feels like we've been amping up this entire podcast this year to this show, because in The Brother's Son, Michelle Yeoh was also like really, everybody was complimentary of her playing this mob boss.
She Mama was chopping up bodies by the end of the episode.
The head of the Taipei's, or of Taipei's most renowned gang, but she was living in California, similar to how Griselda has now moved to Miami.
Miami, yeah.
Boy Swallows Universe, you had Bic Dang and Dara. She was Vietnamese. She had moved to Dara, Australia, and she was a heroin queenpin there. Then Echo, Maya Lopez, her whole main goal at the beginning of that series was to become queenpin.
To be queenpin. In the position that Griselda is almost
New
in.
York
yeah.
Times has even come out recently with some TikTok thing where a lot of girls are dressing up as mob bosses. So I call 2024 the year of the detective series, because we were facing so many of those a few days ago. But now I might have to reorient my thinking, because there are just so many girl boss mob boss, or sorry, girl boss mob bosses that are those type of characters becoming, I don't know, in the zeitgeist.
But we didn't even get that much of Griselda being that crazy.
Yeah.
For example,
so she was like the cleaning lady. She was sort of a nice person.
Yes, because midway through, the kilo is stolen by a drug dealer named Johnny, who she meets at a nightclub. And then Carmen also kicks Griselda out, learning that she's still dealing. But throughout all this, you're still supposed to be rooting for Griselda, hoping that there is a way for her to make enough money, and almost hoping that she can sell this kilo of cocaine.
Do you think this series was made for people who already knew? The main criticism I've seen is from people who have seen Cocaine Cowboys and do have more information.
You would think it would be made for people that know about the story, because it's a 15-minute pilot, but the first 40 minutes, the reason why I think it wasn't is because the first 40 minutes, she's still just trying to sell this kilo of cocaine. That's the main purpose of the episode.
That does seem like it's a comedy, though. You said this doesn't really have a comedy moment in it, but can you imagine if you just had a kilo of coke that you're just a random person and you don't really have any connections to
but
the underworld?
But in the show, the pacing, it's just so boring when she's doing show, because people are just saying no, or they're stealing it, or she's having to like argue with Carmen about it.
How do people say no in the series? Like,
so when she goes to a nightclub, because there's this person named Rafael Rodriguez, he's the only person that would maybe sell this coke. So what she does is, when Johnny, someone that works for Rafa, ends up leaving, because he's in this VIP area with all the girls and everything, Johnny ends up leaving, she acts like she's drunk and bumps into him, and then she makes him try the coke. They're talking at a table, and he tries the coke, and he's like, oh my god, this stuff is great.
This is way better than like the watered down shit. Yeah.
Let's go to Rafa Rodriguez right now. She takes her to the VIP area, and then Rafa Rodriguez is like, I already have a connection, and I'm not going to try this coke at all.
I feel like
I've
seen
back.
That a billion times in different crime shows, right?
Yes, like, but you also have to wonder, why did we spend all that time? Because it's a good 10-minute sequence just for Rafa Rodriguez in the end, and they call him Almacar. That's his actual name, or that's his name that they call him, at least, just to say no.
Yeah, Amilcar. A lot of these names I'm bad at pronouncing, but yeah, a prominent drug lord in Miami. Does she eventually convince him somehow, or like what
happens? Yes, so that's at the very end of the episode. I should say that the last 10 minutes of this series, I'm going to be adding an extra point onto my rating, because we got very strange scenes or plots that didn't feel like they went anywhere.
Subplots?
Or were almost not part of the same show. For example, we get some flashbacks during the episode. Alberto has a brother. That's, again, the person that she's married to. And Alberto's brother's name is Fernando. And because Alberto works for Fernando...
So she's married to Alberto, though.
Yes.
She's not the brother of Alberto.
But this is important, because Alberto ended up messing up a drug shipment that was coming in. So therefore, Fernando says that he has to have sex with Griselda, and all will be forgiven.
I don't think that happened.
they added that? Because it was my least favorite part of the episode.
well known that she probably murdered Alberto and that it happened because of a disagreement. But they had had such a working relationship for so long throughout New York and then back to Medellin that by the time that she was leaving Medellin because of this disagreement and the murder, it felt like there must have been a reason and they just decided to put that reason in there.
And also they introduce a character named Arturo about 15 minutes into the episode. He's someone that's still in Colombia while also working for Fernando but giving her updates, kind of his her only connection to Colombia, and she's learning that people are following her, but it didn't seem like Arturo needed to be introduced in this episode because he never comes back into play later. However, when, so there's this whole...
Was that scene there, the one with the, her having to sleep with the other dude there to show how sexist this entire, like, organized crime is?
I think it was for the reason for the last 10 minutes. So what happens is she is having a discussion with Eddie. Eddie is a drug dealer. He's in the back of the dance club, and she's saying how she has this cocaine. He tries it. She's showing a lot of confidence. In fact, she even hires someone named Chucho, I think his name was.
Yeah,
he's Chucho. A waiter. He was a waiter, and she hired him for $200 this night to act as her security guard. So it seemed like she had more authority than she actually did. But it doesn't matter because Eddie decides that he will actually pay for the cocaine. $20,000. And she was able to get this meeting with him because of Johnny. Johnny is there too, some people that work for Eddie. And so everything seems to be going swell. They're even dancing to music before a knock on the door happens, and this is when the actual excitement starts, because when Johnny opens up the door, there's someone who has a, he seems perfectly fine, except there's a sword through his face.
You like see a samurai sword or a machete? Or
a
like
machete.
What sort of,
okay. You see the top of the machete through his face, the guy
machetes
popping
machetes are the
up.
Short ones, you know, right? Samurai swords are the long ones.
I don't think it was samurai.
A katana?
Though. It might have been that.
Okay.
But the point is that guy falls down and we see that there is someone else. We learn that they are actually working for Rafa Rodriguez. He takes out a gun and he just starts shooting everyone. Johnny, we've gotten to know pretty well through this episode. He's dead. Eddie, the person that said that he was going to take the cocaine, gets shot. He's dead. Two people that also work for Eddie start shooting him. The guy with the sword was able to take like 8 bullets. I think he was wearing a bulletproof vest. He takes out both of them, and he takes the sword. He's going towards Griselda, and right before he does, Chucho busts in and he starts shooting the guy.
It sounds like you're recommending the last 10 minutes of the show, and everything else you're saying you can skip.
I think that you can, because that's when
you didn't enjoy this.
It's hard to say, because I think that the production and budget was there. There's not really one scene that doesn't have just a huge mansion or a huge dance club sequence.
And you agree that Sofia Vergara, like, brought it.
And she's good. Yeah, she's really good in this. She surprised me a lot. And also, it catches up to the pilot to the very end, because it turns out that we get a backflash right after this scene plays out. The machete guy ends up dying, by the way.
Yeah.
But this is right after she slept with Fernando. She goes to this bar where Alberto is at, and they start bickering with each other. They start talking, and she takes the keys. She's like, I can't believe that you did this. I can't believe I said yes to it. I am taking the kids. I am leaving. She goes to the car. They're still arguing. Someone else who works for Alberto follows them out to the back of the bar, and then Griselda is just fed up at one moment after Alberto says something and shoots Alberto. And then,
so he doesn't, like, I thought you were going to say, like, they Han Solo it to the point where she's not even the person to first draw.
No,
but,
no,
she
did.
Does motivate that killing.
Yes, because Alberto says something like, you're going to be back in a week. And then she's like, you know what? She pulls out the gun, kills Alberto, kills the person that was also working for Alberto. But that guy was able to get a shot off. And that gave context to the first scene, because now we knew why she was bleeding, why she was in a state of hysteria, and trying to get her kids out of there. And the ending of the episode, because after the whole entire shootout in the back of the bar, someone walks in, takes the cocaine that was there, and sees that Griselda is hiding, but is also like, you should just go home. But she decides no. She says, fuck it. She has blood all over her face. It was like very obvious, because she's walking through the dance club and people are giving her a strange look. And she goes to the VIP section to where Almucar is, and she demands that he tries the cocaine. He does, and she's like, I was doing this for 10 years. You're going to need a lot more people because you just killed Eddie, so you're going to need a lot more cocaine. And he gives her an opportunity. She needs her his order doubled by the next month, and if she's able to do it, she will get the job, and that's where the episode ended. So it was an exciting last 10 minutes, but it seemed like it was a drag for the first 40 just to get there.
So would you be inspired to watch the second episode, or are you just giving up on it?
I don't think I'm going to give up on it, because there's a lot of potential here. The ending was very intriguing to see where the show goes, and I feel like it was almost like we were getting kind of all the baggage, all the flashbacks, and all, I think that's all done. And the second episode is really when we're going to start seeing the real Queenpin show.
Yeah, without giving too much away, like, she does get to the point where she doesn't care and she will just do bloody murder and she will send people off to do bloody murder. So I don't think that you'll be disappointed if that's what you're looking for, but you have to be desensitized to the bloodshed certain a bit. And yeah, I looked at Common Sense Media. There were no kids reviews. not a lot of role models in this series. Would it surprise you that Michael Corleone, the son who wasn't in the series, actually sued Sofia Vergara because of her, not because of her performance, but because there's been so many versions of her character that have been portrayed in the media, from Catherine Zeta-Jones, Anna Saradia, Sofia Vergara, Jennifer Lopez, or Jennifer Lopez movie To Come, it hasn't been out yet, that I think he wanted like his own version told. I think he also said that his mom was prettier than that.
But you're supposed to be rooting
because,
for her.
Yes, it's strange because it sounds like this is a very complimentary version compared to what it could be for her. In fact, what's your rating for it?
I will give it a 5 out of 10.
That's very average.
I want to see the actual Griselda. I want to see the one that Pablo Escobar is scared of. And I think that there was too many subplots that were introduced, but also the budget, her role, and just the final 10 minutes will probably keep me watching, or at least skipping through
sure.
the rest of the series.
The complaints have been that she's truly a monster and this is not the way the show depicts it. The second one is that it was shot in Long Beach, California, as opposed to Florida, and a lot of Floridians noticed that. CSI Miami, Dexter.
I feel like we've talked about that before.
Yeah, but they have all had the same complaint before. And it's got a 7.5 on IMDb and 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. Guardian gave it 4 stars as being the most positive, but they still called it almost too entertaining given the real life suffering she caused. Some people really didn't like that on the poster board, which Netflix actually went out and advertised this thing. Doesn't do that with most of its shows. It said 200 dead, as if that was some sort of like a cool thing.
Yeah.
As if, but to those victims and like everything, it feels like you're glamorizing something that you shouldn't. AV Club gave it a B, gripping, but it's a little formulaic, they said. Chicago Sun-Times says it plays like an extended B movie. A few too many speeches rallying the team of dealers and killers together, but it didn't sound like she had much of a team of rallying crew to be talking to quite yet.
I didn't understand why it took the full first episode before we see her actually start getting into the drug trade. Because it like Pablo Escobar, you know,
especially if you're jumping this far into her thing, past the New York stuff, like you're just,
you know,
right
that
Miami.
She's going to have to at some point. So why is it at the very end of the first episode when suddenly she's starting to get into it, rather than maybe just starting out the show that way?
Yeah, she's almost at, like, she's at her third husband, you said, which makes me think that, okay, maybe it wasn't the first husband, the New York husband was already dead. Maybe I got that wrong. Anyways, there's a lot to talk about with her, and people can jump back. I think Cocaine Cowboys is, yeah, definitely one that I would still recommend. It's crazy that people like Kanye, Lil' Kim, and Nicki Minaj are still referencing her as some awesome person in
I didn't
their
know
rap
that,
songs.
I didn't know that Cocaine Godmother, I didn't know that that was based off of her until you said that at the very beginning.
Yeah. And it's also cool that, like, if you look back 15 years ago, Modern Family and Community were the biggest, like, comedies out there, and now you've got, within a week span, Griselda and also Mr. and Mrs. Smith being released. Again, this is 6 episodes. If you're going to tune in and watch the rest of it, that's pretty cool. I think this is like the lowest rated show that you've given it that you're going to return to and see the rest of.
I'm so hoping it has the potential to be really good. Those last 10 minutes made me interested, intrigued.
Yeah, I'll end it with Roger Ebert said those who like Sons of Anarchy, which I know you do, and Narcos will find plenty to entertain them. However, that was a negative review. They weren't that big
Sons of Anarchy is one of my favorite shows, but I didn't find this to be that
great.
We've
just seen the pilot, so yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the next episode. Hope you enjoyed this one. Bye.
Bye.